outburst. That was all. I say this because the next day you were back on your high horse of self-importance as if you had never realized anything. The same thing happened to the old seers. They were given to emotional reactions, but when the time came for them to understand what they had seen, they couldn't do it. To understand, one needs sobriety, not emotionality. Beware of those who weep with realization, for they have realized nothing. There are untold dangers in the path of knowledge for those without sober understanding, he continued. I am outlining the order in which the new seers arranged the truths about awareness, so it will serve you as a map. A map that you have to corroborate with your seeing, but not with your eyes. There was a long pause. He stared at me. He was definitely waiting for me to ask him a question. Everybody falls prey to the mistake that seeing is done with the eyes, he continued. But don't be surprised that after so many years you haven't realized yet that seeing is not a matter of the eyes. It's quite normal to make that mistake. What is seeing, then? I asked. He replied that seeing is alignment, and I reminded him that he had said that perception is alignment. He explained then that the alignment of emanations used routinely is the perception of the day-to-day world, but the alignment of emanations that are never used ordinarily is seeing. When such an alignment occurs, one sees. Seeing, therefore, being produced by alignment out of the ordinary, cannot be something one could merely look at. He said that, in spite of the fact that I had seen countless times, it had not occurred to me to disregard my eyes. I had succumbed to the way seeing is labeled and described. When seers see, something explains everything as the new alignment takes place, he continued. It's a voice that tells them in their ear what's what. If that voice is not present, what the seer is engaged in isn't seeing. After a moment's pause, he continued explaining the voice of seeing. He said that it was equally fallacious to say that seeing was hearing, because it was infinitely more than that, but that seers had opted for using sound as a gauge of a new alignment. He called the voice of seeing a most mysterious, inexplicable thing. My personal conclusion is that the voice of seeing belongs only to man, he said. It may happen because talking is something that no one else besides man does. The old seers believed it was the voice of an overpowering entity intimately related to mankind, a protector of man. The new seers found out that that entity, which they called the mold of man, doesn't have a voice. The voice of seeing for the new seers is something quite incomprehensible. They say it's the glow of awareness playing on the eagle's emanations as a harpist plays on a harp. He refused to explain it any further, arguing that later on, as he proceeded with his explanation, everything would become clear to me. My concentration had been so total while Don Juan spoke that I actually didn't remember sitting down at the table to eat. When Don Juan stopped talking, I noticed that his plate of stew was nearly finished. Genaro was staring at me with a beaming smile. My plate was in front of me on the table, and it too was empty. There was only a tiny residue of stew left in it, as if I had just finished eating. I didn't remember eating it at all. But neither did I remember walking to the table or sitting down.
Did you like the stew?
Genaro asked me and looked away. I said I did because I didn't want to admit that I was having problems recollecting.
It had too much chili for my taste, Genaro said. You never eat hot food yourself, so I'm sort of worried about what it will do to you. You shouldn't have eaten two servings. I suppose you're a little more piggish when you're in heightened awareness, eh?
I admitted that he was probably right. He handed me a large pitcher of water to quench my thirst and soothe my throat. When I eagerly drank all of it, both of them broke into howling laughter. Suddenly, I realized what was going on. My realization was physical. It was a flash of yellowish light that hit me as if a match had been struck right between my eyes. I knew then that Genaro was joking. I had not eaten. I had been so absorbed in Don Juan's explanation that I had forgotten about everything else. The plate in front of me was Genaro's. After dinner, Don Juan went on with his explanations about the glow of awareness. Genaro sat by me, listening as if he had never heard the explanation before. Don Juan said that the pressure that the emanations outside the cocoon, which are called emanations at large, exert on the emanations inside the cocoon is the same in all sentient beings. Yet the results of that pressure are vastly different among them, because their cocoons react to that pressure in every conceivable way. There are, however, degrees of uniformity within certain boundaries. "No," he went on. "When seers see that the pressure of the emanations at large bears down on the emanations inside, which are always in motion and makes them stop moving, they know that the luminous being at that moment is fixated by awareness. To say that the emanations at large bear down on those inside the cocoon and make them stop moving means that seers see something indescribable, the meaning of which they know without a shadow of doubt. It means that the voice of seeing has told them that the emanations inside the cocoon are completely at rest and match some of those which are outside." He said that seers maintain, naturally, that awareness always comes from outside ourselves, that the real mystery is not inside us. Since by nature the emanations at large are made to fixate what is inside the cocoon, the trick of awareness is to let the fixating emanations merge with what is inside us. Seers believe that if we let that happen, we become what we really are: fluid, forever in motion, eternal. There was a long pause. Don Juan's eyes had an intense shine. They seemed to be looking at me from a great depth. I had the feeling that each of his eyes was an independent point of brilliance. For an instant, he appeared to be struggling against an invisible force, a fire from within that intended to consume him. It passed, and he went on talking.